Yellow, baby!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Microsoft Asset number 334307.
I'm Microsoft Asset 168163.
Welcome to Defrag. We're glad to have you here. It's been a heck of a show already. I'm sorry you missed the beginning of it, but, you know, that stuff is not for primetime. All right, first question, go, from Renee Sorensen, the comment. She said, the fastest way to device manager, on Windows 8, of course, is to hit Windows X and then M.
That's if you're on the desktop. That is true. That's one
way. Great. Great tip. I think Renee, you win. That's pretty good. I like that. We had some other ones, too. From Brian in the comments, he says you can make a desktop shortcut to the device manager and assign a shortcut key to it. He uses Shift-Control-D as a shortcut key. That's a good one, too. Requires a little bit more work than the one from Renee. We also got in an email from Ryan and another comment in the show that says you can just start typing device manager, but that's not quite as fast as the Windows XM.
So, yeah, I mean, that's technically three keys, right?
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
That's
so
pretty quick.
I think you win the speed prize there, Renee.
Or if you're really going in device manager that frequently, you know what you can do is also assign one of your mouse buttons just so that whenever you click it,
yeah,
boom, you hit the device manager.
You could do that.
Single click. I mean, anywhere you are, single click.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a couple of options for you. All right, and from Gerald, he says, of course the keys from the laptop sticker can be used with normal install media, for example, MSDN, ISOs. One drawback is that you sometimes need to activate by phone instead of internet. If you don't like telling your customers this is possible because Microsoft's legal department is likely larger in size than all Microsoft's developers combined, fine. But then please don't try to take the question instead of pseudo-answering it with BS. It's obviously wrong. Well, it's not exactly wrong. Now, first of all, I can't test every different combination, so I'm a little hesitant to say this will always work. And of course, we're talking about using physical media installed with your OEM sticker that's on your laptop. But Gov, what say you?
I only want to say what's supported,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I will talk about the things that we can test, the things that we will actually support, and when you phone into customer service, what they will tell you as well.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say, yeah, go grab a torrent ISO and see if you can run your OEM key through it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that OEM or if that ISO that you get from a torrent is actually going to work.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, we haven't tested every different combination, but there's some media that might not work with some keys that are on the laptop stickers.
The whole point of the OEM sticker key, right, is so that you don't actually have to activate.
Yeah.
It's because the machine itself has a special area in its firmware to say that, you know, this is the key that it's supposed to be able to activate with, and you give it that key, have particular media, volume licensing kind of media, or OEM media, and there is no actual activation.
Yeah.
So it comes pre-activated in a sense. If anyone has ever just installed retail media, you know, you go and buy the DVD and you install it, you'll know that after a certain point it's going to tell you, or it's going to ask you, please activate now.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that with an OEM machine. It is activated.
Yeah.
And that's really the big difference here.
Yeah, and so it has nothing to do with Microsoft's legal department. We're always in trouble with them anyway. So, I mean, you know, that's not even a concern here. But I don't want to lead people down the wrong path, and if we can't test it ourselves, we probably don't want to mention it.
Right.
So next from Seatomy says, Hi. It's nice to have you watching. From Usama from Algeria, says, the best show ever. I have a problem with Windows Update. When I try to search for updates, I get an error 800-7002. For more details, please refer to the Windows Update log file attached. Please tell me what to do. I don't want to fresh install a copy of Windows.
From the log file, it looked like there was some corruption in the Windows Update store. We, oddly enough, have a repair tool for that. It's called the System Update Readiness Tool. So this particular KB947821. What you want to do is download a tool called Checkster. Here are the download locations for each of the different operating systems, different architectures. And you can download that, run that, it'll repair, it'll run through a whole bunch of standard issues that you might have. We don't usually recommend it as a, you know, always go to it the moment you have any kind of Windows Update problem. The general issues that you might encounter with Windows Update is pending reboot, You know, it could be in the middle of a download or middle of a different install, so you can't actually get other updates at that moment. So this is kind of like the last-ditch effort before reinstalling.
Cool. And if you hear that noise, that's my laptop taxiing for takeoff right now. So next question from Chris. He says, hi, guys. Love the show. Always looking forward to it each week. When I click an icon that's already running in a program on Windows 8 start screen, the existing program gets switched to instead of launching a second instance of the program. This the same happens if I press the Windows key and type a partial name and hit Enter. I know that I can Shift-Enter, Shift-Click, or Center-Wheel-Click on an icon, and it'll give me a second instance. But I also right-click the icon and choose Open a New Window. But is there a way to just always launch another instance by default? Let's talk a little bit about this. I mean, some applications only have one instance.
Yeah,
so this is up to the developer, right?
Yeah, usually the case is that many applications, want to be single instanced in a particular user session. Because, you know, the usual case is you're using an app, you want to switch to it, you don't want to produce another instance of it. It's like, you don't want to run multiple of the same game at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, when Word is running, you just have different documents within Word. Notepad is like one of those weird little apps where you actually might want to have other Notepad instances running.
Yeah.
You know, and in that case, when you just run Notepad, if you go back to the start screen and do Notepad again, you will get to the exact same Notepad.
Mm-hmm.
And as you notice, if you want to start a new one, you can right-click on it and say Open New Window, and that'll create a new Notepad. Ta-da.
Yeah.
That's really the best way of doing it. There is a registry hack that will allow you to create a new one all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It won't try to coalesce or it won't try to launch the same one over again. Problem with that is it still won't stop apps that are designed to be single instance from running.
Yeah,
or from creating another instance of itself. So what we actually decided based on user feedback and because of the way that the Windows 8 UI works now, because you're not always seeing this and you don't always see you have multiple instances running, right? The better default is to actually have the single instance.
Run. Yeah.
Now, if people really want to know the reg override, you know, mail me, I'll let you know, but whether or not it works in the future, who knows?
Yeah. All right, from Richard, is there a way non-programmatically to change the buffer size in Silverlight for any particular website? I want to increase the buffer size for Love Film, but after reading their facts and emailing them, to which they are very unhelpful, just quoted their facts, I'm still none the wiser. Is there some registry hack or something that will allow me to increase this value? I mean, a 1 meg buffer for movies? Great show as always. Do I really need to tell you that? No, you don't, but it's always nice. And Gov, you had a fix for this. So you can pause the video in Silverlight.
In any Silverlight. I use Netflix to do this, but it should work for any Silverlight site.
Yeah.
So you have to hit pause. You have to click on the actual movie window itself.
So it's like kind of active.
It's the active window, right? The Silverlight window, not the IE window.
Yeah.
And then Control-Shift-Alt-S.
Yes.
Control-Shift-Alt-S. Wow. They Silverlight folks, yeah, you know how to pick the keyboard combinations.
You'll never
don't you?
Forget that one,
right? And that will bring up the Stream Manager.
Yeah,
and you can choose a manual buffer size. The largest one is about a meg and a half, I think, or 1.3 meg, and you can just manually override that, and you'll get better quality, but it'll take longer to load.
Yeah. Okay. So there you have it. And now on a very special episode of Defrag. We've got an email, a very heartfelt email from Roger. Greetings from Hawaii. Love the show. I'm excited to watch your podcasts on WinPhone 8, Win 8 laptop, and our tablet. The Surface tablets look amazing. I can't wait to pimp this at my local Starbucks. How can I get a Channel 9 guy signed by Gove and Larry? Well, it's funny you ask. We have a Channel 9 guy, and we have a pen.
We have a Gove and Larry.
And we have a Gove and Larry. So there's mine.
That's your artist signature.
It is. So a funny little fact that you may not know about me is that in the 90s, I won Magic Markers contest for having the world's best signature, world's best autograph contest. So that's not a good example of a good autograph.
That's pretty decent.
You know, not too bad. So there you have it. So he
mine's
also
out of
writes,
France.
is a big fan here. So he also writes, he also wants Windows Internal Part 1 covering Windows Server 2008 R2 and Windows 7 signed by Mark, David, and Alex. He's a rapid fan from Honolulu, Hawaii. Thank you, blah, blah, blah. Can't really help him there because I don't have a copy of the book.
Yeah, and neither do I.
No one's going to give it to us, I don't think, and I don't want to have anyone send in a book and then I go around campus trying to get people to sign it, but you are in luck because I have from TechEd Europe 2012, the on-air sign for Channel 9 Live. And we have these get signed by all the guests on Channel 9 Live every time we do a Channel 9 Live. And we have them sign two of them. One of them gets hung up here in our studio. The other one I save for just such a circumstance as this.
I think
this.
I see yours right here.
Mine's right here. Mine's right okay. In the middle. I like to sign right in the middle. And this has all kinds of people. Who do we have here? We got Rasinovich. We got Aaron Margosis. We got Steve Teixeira. We got Kate Gregory. We got Tim Heuer, we got Paul Gusmarino, we got Jeffrey Snover, we got Jason Zander, Bart DeSmet, and Paula, their last name starts with J, no one can pronounce her name. And even our own Golnaz, our own studio operator here, has signed this thing. So, yeah, this is coming to you, Roger. Congratulations. I'll send it with the Channel 9 guy, maybe a couple other nice things in there. But if you would also like your own Channel 9 guy, girl, person... just feel free to send us a postcard, One Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052. Send it to attention of Larry Larson, alias Larry Law, and I'll send you a Channel 9 guy. I got no problem doing that. Happy to do it. All right, from Ryan, is there a way to set Windows 8 to automatically search settings and our files in addition to apps by default when I hit the Windows key and start typing? I find that I'm so used to the behavior in Windows 7 that when I hit the Windows key in Windows 8, I'll start typing out a setting or file name and then remember that I need to specify what I'm searching by hitting a different key combination. Do you know of a way to do this? I don't think there is.
I don't know of a way of setting a particular default, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the best thing that you can do is learn the key combinations. It's Windows Q for apps, Windows F for files, and Windows S for settings. So if you hit that, and if you're already in there, if you've hit Windows S and started typing, you can also just go ahead and hit Windows F to search files or Windows Q for apps. But, yeah, there's three different ones there. No, sorry, I don't know of a way to do that all at once. All right, and next question from Matthew. He says, hi, Gove and Larry. You two are doing great with the show. I have a problem that's been bugging me. I haven't been able to pin down for a year now. Some programs don't close immediately after closing them. Many seem to hang around for a long time. I have problems with Picasa, Heroes of New Earth, Origin, Steam. I have other Windows 7 boxes with same problems that don't behave this way. For example, I have another Windows 7 X64 with Heroes of New Earth on it and updates. Shuts down and starts up like a treat, so it must be something higher level because it seems to be affecting multiple apps.
Actually, so, that would be lower level.
Okay.
Technically speaking.
There you have it.
In terms of a stack, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress.
Yeah. So, taking a little long for things to shut down, what would your first tips be on that?
Honestly, anything. If you're actually closing out of something and you're checking Task Manager and the process is still around, look at, you know, anything that is taking up not just CPU time, but disk thrashing as well. So if you run Task Manager and you go to Details, one of the things that I like to do for selecting the columns is page faults, IO reads, writes, other... read bytes, write bytes, other. Set that up and then start looking for, say, reads or page faults and take a look at what things are constantly climbing while it's shutting down or even while it's running. You know, pick Picasa because it's a lot smaller. It shouldn't be doing a lot of I.O.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's shutting down, take a look at what else is happening at that point in time. That's one method. The other thing would be, you know, again, for something like Picasa, something small, not a game, because it's going to be tending to be a lot larger. After you shut it down and the process is still kicking around, just right-click on it. Let me pick something here. Choose Create Dump File.
Yeah.
send me the dump file and I'll take a look at it, see if there's anything that I'd notice. Some obvious things like what is hardware differences between your machines? Is it a slow drive? Does it need to be defragmented? You know, generally speaking, when you shut down the process, it should not take a long time to shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you have some sort of AV, some sort of syncing, you know, check to see if you got Dropbox, SkyDrive, whatever. Maybe that's the difference on your machine. But yeah, take a dump of the file and send it to me, and I'll take a look at it and see if there's anything out of the ordinary. Maybe there's an add-in into the process that shouldn't be there. Who knows?
Nice. All right, next question from Chris. He says, what's the way if I have a partition less than 8 gig on the hard disk and can't create a new partition using it, nor can I allot it to my current partition? I solved this when I reinstalled by making a single partition, but what's a proper way to solve this after the OS is installed?
Sounds like the OS is using it for something. It's either where it's keeping your boot information if it's an EFI-based system. You can go to Disk Manager, try and blow it away, but if you do that, you could end up with a non-bootable system.
Yeah, and I've had, you know, systems that have what looks like, you know, an unusable space, but it turns out that's like the install media from the manufacturer.
Yeah, or it's a repair location. Boot to one of the options when you're booting up is repair mode, and it could boot to that as being a Windows recovery environment, a WinRE environment.
Yeah,
and you might not want to screw around with it unless, of course, you're on a 32 gig SSD, and 8 gigs is actually a lot.
Yeah.
But if you're on a terabyte drive, 8 gigs, forget about it.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Just try to...
Until you decide you don't care about that system anymore, you want to rebuild it from scratch, set up with a single partition, or, you know, do what I do, set up at least two partitions, one for the system, one for data. In my data partition, I've been actually now... setting up VHDs to store all of my data in, and then linking them up via libraries. And then if I need to blow away the system, who cares? I just grab my VHD and run.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Pick of the week time. Pick of the week. And the pick of the week this week is the Nokia 920 announcement, which is a fabulous-looking piece of hardware. We got the Business Insider article here. It talks about some of the most exciting Windows Phone 8 features. So you can, I would click view all on one page, so you don't have to go through their page-by-page assessment. But yeah, it talks about some of the plugins for the camera, NFC, micro SD cards, turn-by-turn navigation, higher resolution, screenshots, bop. It's all there. You can look through this. I will link to this article. There's another article, too, and this one's from PocketLint, and it's just kind of an interesting thing about how NFC works. And they've got some JBL speakers here. And you can see here that if you want your phone to work with these speakers, where typically on a lot of phones you have to go through Bluetooth and do, you know, a bunch of different stuff every time you want to use your speakers, this, you set the phone on top of the speakers, boom, done. And this, this is one of my things. I love NFC. I love the idea of NFC. And I think that it's often sold for people as like a way to pay for coffee at Starbucks. And that is a horrible shame, because the most untapped potential for NFC is in proximity and how devices talk to each other and what devices, which device, and where it's located on the planet. And this is a very interesting way of showing how you can take this technology and just make it super simple. Touch your phone on the device and your speakers are paired. So want to see more of this. Can't wait to see more of this.
Does it just use Bluetooth behind the scenes?
Oh, I don't know. It just, it's really magic. You tap it. That's what it uses. It uses the magic tap. And then next thing you know, your speakers are working. But yeah, I'm sure it's pairing with Bluetooth behind the scenes. And just,
I mean, this is
NFC.
Really what you want when you're going in your car too, right?
Yeah.
You have the spot near your shifter. You toss your phone. Boom, it's done.
You know, that would be awesome, because I have a Ford, and it has Microsoft's Ford Sync built in. Mm-hmm. But if I get in the car at the same time with my wife, you don't know whose phone's going to get hooked up.
It
seems to favor her phone. In fact, I think there's a setting where you can tell it which phone to favor, and she's probably gone in there and set her phone right to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather it, like, whichever phone gets set into a certain spot, that's the one that pairs with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's the proximity, as in a very, very close proximity, and then a wider proximity.
Yeah.
And it seems like we don't have great differentiation between that.
Yeah. And there's no reason not to.
There's no reason not to, exactly. Yeah. You got, you know, NFC for the super close. You have Bluetooth, just general.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Wi-Fi for a wider. You know, it's when you have your car talking to your house like I do.
It's concentric circles of trust.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
Or preference.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the show for this week. If you want to leave a comment, you can leave a comment in the show notes, or you can email us at defragshow@microsoft.com. We love the email. I love the email, because then Gove, in the middle of the night, can get up out of bed and start going back and forth with you on all your problems, and I can just kind of roll over, look at it, and laugh. So email the show, defragshow@microsoft.com, and we'll see you next week.
If I don't answer right away, don't worry. I do have a day job. So.
Yeah, yeah. He does a couple things during the day.
I'll get back to you eventually.
See you next week.